Shabbat Shalom. This morning's parasha is Vayera, as Pastor Sam mentioned. It's in Exodus 6:2 through 9:35. It's the preparation of the people, Israelites. The Lord's power being revealed to them and preparing them to leave. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, because of my hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" Mike last week mentioned about how Bibles aren't allowed as books in school, and really triggered something in me, because the Bible to me is a history book. It's a math book. It's an astronomy book. It's an archaeological book. You know, for me, there are a lot of things in here that cover a breadth of knowledge. So the other challenge is, though, sometimes, is that some church groups do not want archaeology or science or history taught in the church. So we begin this separation challenge here. How do we put this all together? We only have a little bit of time for a preview of the harmony in God's word as it is, as it applies to history. Let's start with here. It says, "I will do to Pharaoh." How now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. The challenge is they don't tell us which Pharaoh. So we have a movie called The Ten Commandments that came out, and this movie with Charlton Heston implies that the Pharaoh was Ramses II. Well, for me, it's difficult to defend that. So for me, I'm searching for what the Spirit's leading me as far as the truth about this. Truth is powerful. If you can feel like, wow, this is how the Lord's showing me this, then your witness is much, much more powerful to those who begin to question, and this is probably one of the most questioned topics, is the Exodus. So, just today, I want to just go through a little bit more thorough investigation here. And again, I'm going to begin with the Bible as the history book for this. But then, you know, in your research, you can go to Wikipedia, but I wouldn't put a lot on Wikipedia, but sometimes a good place to start, because the references, go immediately to the references and you find stuff. One of the books that I really like is Dotson's book. He's just clean about this. He says, this is what we know about Egyptian history, the royal families. Some of this is pretty speculative. And he says that clearly. We really don't know. This is associated with some pottery that we found. And other things are pretty concrete. So we're trying to sort through all of this. So let's see what we can figure out just in the short amount of time that we have. First of all, I'm starting here, right? This is where I want to start. 1 Kings 6 says, in the 480th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, is that the correct pronunciation? Okay. The second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. All right, so what does that mean? Well, we pretty much arguably can put the building of the first temple at 957 BC. There are other dates that we can rationalize, but let's start from here. And First Kings says roll back 480 years. So we roll back 480 years. And we pass through King David. We go through Samuel the prophet and the judges. And we keep rolling this back. We're back. Now we're at Ramses II. We're even going past that in Judges. So, all right. So we roll back 480 years, and we end up at 1437 B.C. It's kind of interesting to take the archaeological evidence here and line it up. Say, okay, what have those who are really interested in archaeology, what have they uncovered? What do they know about the pharaohs? And so we find that in this time of Moses, Moses was 80 years old when this happened, when the Exodus happened. And so we look at Moses' life, seems to be right around, the Exodus happening right around Thutmose III. Now, I can't say for exact that this is true or not, but it seems like some evidence points to this particular pharaoh. I think some of the challenge here is, what do we know about the pharaoh of the Exodus' firstborn son? Anybody? He dies, right? And so we have to look at that pharaoh and say, well, what do we know? What has the evidence revealed about this particular pharaoh's firstborn son? This pharaoh, Thutmose III, had a son named Amenemhat, who was designated as an overseer of the cattle of Amun. It was recorded in a Kurnic temple in Egypt, so we have this pretty well defined here. But Amenemhat died somewhere between the 24th and 35th year of Thutmose III's reign. They don't really say anything else about him. They don't give any reason. Matter of fact, most of the pharaohs, they really don't say how they died. They just, you know, bury them. And Amenhotep II became the next pharaoh, which was a stepson. I mean, wow. Okay, could fit. All right, fits some of it. But that doesn't mean it's actually, in fact, there. But, hey, some evidence there. So, Ramses is clear down here almost 200 years later after this. So, why did the... first of all, let's establish here in Thutmose III, the Egyptian Empire had expanded to its greatest boundaries, well up into Assyria, all right? And the Hittite Empire, they were constantly in battle with them in this area right here. I guess the challenge here is, why was Ramses II suggested in the movie? Well, let's look at some scripture here. Exodus 1:11 says, "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as the store cities of Pharaoh." And so some people look at, okay, they said it was Ramses, it's the city of Ramses, and it's Ramses who was the pharaoh. Well, then we have to go to Genesis 47:11 and go, well, then who was Pharaoh when Joseph came in to Egypt? And we see, so Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh directed. Ramses. So the Ramesside period is not even close to the Exodus. So we're looking at then what's going on here. This reference to Ramses, well, it's referred to as the land of Goshen. If you look in Proverbs, it's referred to as the region of Zoan. All right? So we tend to be focused on area right here. Avarice seems to be the city that actually where the city of Ramses was later built. This particular area was, this was kind of the beginning of the global economy here for the Mediterranean area. In other words, shipping was all around here. And we have such civilizations as the Minoan civilization early on in the 1500 BC, were just a people from Crete that were conducting shipping. And we have a lot of evidence in Egypt of their pottery that was down there. There again, one of those things that all we're doing is connecting some history with some pottery shards that were found in Egypt and in Crete. We also have the Phoenician culture, which later on became a worthy sea power that also further developed the global economy within this area by shipping, trading. As a matter of fact, they were the ones that provided a lot of the gold for the first temple. So, we also have the Hyksos people, and Hyksos in Egypt just simply means a foreigner. It was a period where a foreign kings ruled Egypt. I'd love to get into that a lot more. But we seem to see that Joseph built these big storehouses, and they continued to build right in this area because this was easy for shipping to get into, so they could trade with other nations and build a global economy here. So just some of the evidence here. I always say at this point, do you have any questions? But I guess I'll have to hold off here. God makes a simple request from Pharaoh. Let my people go. That's all he asks. And Pharaoh refuses, and the plagues begin. Each plague challenging each idol in Egypt. But this is only the beginning of how God worked through Egypt to accomplish great things for Israel. As they later entered into the promised land, we get into Judges. I would love to take the time to show you how Ramses II influenced the area to allow for Israel just to come into the promised land and how he fits into Judges. It's beautiful. So, this is the history book, all right? This is the history book. This is just some stuff that we're just learning in our generation, all right? This was compiled in 2010, all right? So some recent stuff, recent information. And I'm trying to put it together. I would love to share it with you. The way that I do things is I like to juxtapose things. Juxtapose is just a fancy word for saying set it side by side with some other things. Set this first, beside this, beside even what we're doing today. And let's look at how all this compares. This may help as we start to put things together and settle this in our minds to boldly answer questions about our hope, our trust in the Lord. Trust me, God has more in store for Israel and Egypt in the future. Indeed, God knows the suffering of all his people. Be patient. Shabbat Shalom.